So we're going to continue our series on the Lord's Prayer called How to Pray this week. A lot of us don't know how to pray, yeah? We sit down to pray and we struggle. We're like, our heads go off in different directions. We don't know what to say. We get overwhelmed with too many things to pray about or don't know what way to go about it, or weird stuff just comes out of us. Patrice was laughing there when Mags prayed, right? She just this morning, she prayed, I don't care who you are or where you're from. Like Backstreet Boys lyrics, she was praying, right? Or what you do as long as you love me. So just stuff comes out of us, weird stuff when we're praying, right? Mags has gone out, isn't she? Slag her about that after. She's but we don't know what to pray. And so there was a time in the Bible where Jesus' disciples didn't know how to pray. They saw Jesus praying, saw that it was part of his life, and they said to him, teach us how to pray. And his response was what we know, the Lord's Prayer. And it's just really, as we've looked into it, really is this all-encompassing thing. I've been struggling to find something, some truth that's talked about after the Lord's Prayer in the Bible or expressed before it that isn't somehow summed up in one of the sentences that we pray. And we're so familiar with this thing that we just rattle it off without even thinking about it. But in it is this genius of encompassing what it means to be children of God, what it means to have the provision of God, what it means to look to God for his kingdom and for his will to be done, to have his protection, to have his deliverance, to have his leading. All this stuff is in there, okay? And so it follows this pattern, all right? It starts, and we've looked at the first three sentences, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? It starts with this vertical aspect. It starts the very first thing with Our Father, because if we don't know who it is that we're praying to, then we won't pray the way that we're meant to pray. And so we've covered that, Our Father. It talks about the character of God, that God is our Father in heaven. It talks about that his name should be hallowed, that his characteristics, that God is one of a kind. To be holy means to be set apart, to be different. And so God's name is to be set apart, it's to be different, it's to be holy, it's to be exalted, it's to be magnified. And it puts us on this position of praising God. Yeah, first looking to his character. Then it moves to this broader kind of sense of what God is doing in the world. So it goes from a vertical aspect to this broad horizontal aspect of your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Talking about the sovereignty of God over earth and heaven, his kingdom and his kingship. And then, here's where we're going to land this morning. It takes this internal turn. So it starts vertical, goes out horizontal and broad, and then it takes this internal turn, and it starts looking at the real nitty-gritty of the things that we need every day. And he says this, he says, pray to your Father, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, and we'll forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if there's one thing you learn from this series, I hope it's that patterned, yeah? That if you don't know how to pray, start with God. Start with the things you know about God. Very often we jump into the middle of the prayer, yeah? Something comes to our mind that we need to pray about, and we just jump straight in with, God, I need this, give me this thing. Or God, help me in this situation. Or God, I need you to help me stop doing this thing. Or I need you to protect me in this situation. And there, that's real and that's valid, yeah? But this pattern is there for our benefit. It starts with praise, and rightly starts with praise, because you can't have a great prayer life unless you believe the one you're praying to is able. And so it starts with the praise of God. And so when we start to pray, even in our prayer meetings here on Tuesday nights, or when I'm on my own praying at home, I try to follow this pattern of just, thank you, God, for your fatherhood. Thank you, God, like our Father, that you're my Father in heaven. Thanks for saving me. Thanks for your provision. Thanks that you're the creator of everything. Just list off the things that you know to be true about God. You're listing them off to God, but you're also listing them off for your own sake, yeah? That you're saying, like, God, you hold the atoms in my body together. God, you hold the planets in orbit. That, God, you flung the stars into space. That your kingdom is unstoppable. That your will is perfect. It's flawless. It's irresistible. That you've redeemed the world. That you've won my heart. That we just build this platform of praise onto God. So then by the time it comes to praying for your needs, you've built this platform. You've got confidence that you know that the same Father who I'm asking to provide my daily bread is the one who I've said all these incredible things about, the one who I believe all these incredible things about. Learn that pattern. Ephesians, God says, it says that God is able to do immeasurably more than we could even imagine or think. So think and imagine the things that God could do. And then it's immeasurably more than that. That's how great our God is. And that pattern exists, because it's easy to fall into some traps of that pattern, but that pattern exists for our sake. Like, God doesn't need our praise to feel complete. The prayer doesn't have to start in that way, because God is like some like needy basket case that needs like our affirmation to feel complete or to feel worthy. God is self-existing. God is worthy of his own accord, yeah? And so the praise bit of it isn't necessarily just for his sake. It's for our sake that we start this thing with praise. It gets us onto the page of remembering who God is. It's not because you need time to butter God up like you may need to butter up your husband or your wife if you want something for them. You bring some flowers and you bring some compliments or whatever, and then you ask, actually, you slip in, I'm going fishing, by the way, yeah? And, do you like those flowers? Look at them while I'm off casting my rod into the... You don't need to butter God up, yeah? This stuff isn't about, oh, I need to say a lot of things to God so that I get his attention and then God will answer my prayers. No, it's for our sake. First half of that prayer isn't about convincing God. It's about convincing us. So then the second half, when it moves into the nitty-gritty, into the reality of what we need and face every day, we pray with absolute confidence and assurance in not just the ability, but the availability of our God to answer those prayers. That he's ready and willing to be all that he's promised to be to you. You can't have a great prayer life unless you believe the one you're praying to has what you need. Do you believe that God has what you need this morning? Because you won't ask him for it unless you... No one's ever come up to me and asked, Rob, can I have a lend of 20 grand? Why? Because they know I don't have 20 grand. Yeah? Like, do you know that God has what you need this morning? Do you know that God wants to give it to you? Isn't that amazing? Give us this day our daily bread. That's what we're going to look at. That's what we're going to unpack. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread is obviously used there, right? We're going to look at that sentence today. But bread is used, obviously, as a metaphor, yeah? It's not just talking about bread. That we need more than just bread. Though if it was possible to live on just bread, I would give it a go, yeah? I love bread. I love. That sounds weird. I should be saying I love God. I love bread. That's why I'm built like a batch loaf. Because, like, all those carbs... Those carbs aren't good for you, yeah? I know there's this picture of me. Patrice, have you seen this picture? When I'm like 2 years old and I'm holding a French stick that's like up, like above my head like this, right? And I look ridiculously happy in that picture. Talking like happier than I look in my wedding pictures. Like with that, like this French stick beside me. And there's like this poster behind me, the story of bread. And I love bread, yeah? There's nothing that doesn't taste better between like... On a roll. Put your dinner on a roll. Mashed potato sandwiches, absolutely delicious. Carvery breakfast rolls. I love bread, yeah? But we can't live just on bread. That we need more than that. So Jesus didn't mean just ask God for bread. Don't ask him for cheese or don't ask him for milk or don't ask him for a house or don't ask him for the other things you need. It's a metaphor for the things that we need in life. But it's an intentionally simple metaphor, yeah? He doesn't say, like, give us this day our daily foie gras or give us this day our daily lobster or whatever, yeah? It's not stuff that we would like. It's not just stuff that's beyond what we need. It's give us the things that are essential for our life and that God wants to supply those. Now, if you've been around church a while, or if you've read the Bible a good bit, if you like, kind of run it through your filter in your head, right, of give us this day our daily bread, what else does that kind of point to? A load of things. We're going to look at how Jesus says he's the bread of life, yeah, and how it points to Jesus. But going back, one of the first references to this bread and God giving daily bread is the story of the Israelites. You know when God gives them manna in the desert? And here's what happens, for those of you who aren't familiar with it. God uses this guy called Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. They've been slaves for generations in Egypt. And God miraculously delivers them, okay? And he promises, I'm going to bring you into this land now. I have this land that I've promised for you. And it's flowing with milk and honey, meaning like a land of abundant provision, of incredible stuff. And they get to the land. He brings them out of the desert. He brings them out of Egypt into the desert. They go towards the land, and they go and spy it out. And the majority of them there are just like, no, it's too hard to take. There's people already living there. How are we going to get in? How are we going to avail of this stuff? And they bottle it, right? They don't have the faith to believe that the God who just miraculously through, you know, all those plagues and everything God sent, parting the Red Sea, all that stuff, don't believe that he has what it takes to get them into there. And so they end up wandering around in the desert for 40 years until that whole generation dies off and Joshua eventually leads them in, who takes over from Moses, right? But in the middle of that, they're in the desert. And so the desert isn't a place that's like abundant with food. And so eventually they start grumbling, like, we don't even have any food here. We're not in the promised land. We don't have any food. We'd be better off back in Egypt. And they're tempted to go back. And so they're saying this to Moses, and Moses talking to God. And God says, tell them I'm going to feed them. He literally says that I'm going to feed them. I'm going to look after them. I'll provide you with food. And so here's what would happen every evening. Like, these quail would wander into camp. You know, like these little birds, and they'd kill them and they'd eat them. And they'd have meat every evening. Like, they'd wander into camp. But more miraculous than that, because you could say there's just randomly quail in the desert anyway, although there probably isn't. But more miraculously than that, God says this, and look it up, it's in Exodus. God says this, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. What a statement. He says to them, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. And here's what would happen, right? Every day, the dew would fall at nighttime, yeah, and it would like rest on the ground. And then when it dried in the morning, it formed like this crisp, this bread that it said tasted like honey when they ate it. and they would gather it up off the ground, and it would only last a day, and they could eat it. But every day they had this bread to eat in the morning, and this quail that would come along in the evening, and they had bread and meat that God miraculously formed every day. Now, when they got into the promised land, that stopped. And it's not a naturally occurring phenomenon. There's nothing that people can point to in the desert and say, this still goes on, that this was miraculous feeding of God. In fact, it would rot every day, but God says, I don't want you to collect any of it on the Sabbath. So the day before that, you're to collect it 2 days' worth, and then miraculously it would last 2 days instead of 1 day. Yeah, not just the amount would last 2 days, but usually it would rot within 24 hours, but this time it wouldn't rot for 48 hours. Incredible just provision of God that he provided for them. And God gave them these rules around it, right? So this is a daily bread. You see where I'm going here? It's connected with, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, like a rabbi, Jewish rabbi, talking mostly to Jewish people, they would have known that this is how God provided in the past. Give us this day our daily bread. And God had put these rules around it. And they're really important rules, I think. The fact that he said everybody's to go out and just gather as much as they need. Don't gather too much. If you gather too much, guess what's going to happen to it? It's going to rot. You can't use it. And so everybody gather as much as you need, meaning that you can't stockpile this stuff. You can't go out on a Monday and collect enough to make it last all the way through the rest of the week or through the rest of the year or whatever. You can't take more than the person beside you, and because it's going to rot and it turns to maggots, it said in the Bible. We have this tendency, right, as humans, and this rule is there for this reason. We have this tendency to want to stockpile our stuff. We don't want to have to rely on God every day for stuff. It's like, just give me some stuff now, and then let me ride that out for a while. When I'm empty again, maybe I'll come back to you, and then we'll do the same kind of thing over again. Not that we articulate it that way, but if you looked at the patterns in our life, that's the way it looks, yeah? Hands up, that's the way it looks for me at times, yeah? We have this tendency to want to stockpile it. And then God's wisdom as well is that people aren't benefiting from it more than other people. That people can't use this manna as a tool to gain power or wealth. Like, here's what happens with every other natural resource. So here's what easily could have happened with the manna, okay? So again, a big strong guy goes out in the morning, collects all the manna he can find, then there's none for other people to collect. Then he sells it to them, yeah? And then he uses the money to hire more people to go out the next day and collect more manna, and then he sells that on again, and then he builds his manna empire, yeah? And then there's people who are disadvantaged, people who can't afford it, and people who have abundance and have too much. And God says, no, that's not the way it's going to work with my provision. That the strong aren't advantaged over the weak. The people with bigger hands and people with bigger families aren't advantaged over the people with smaller hands and people with smaller families. Manna literally means, and I love this, it literally means that thing. It's like they came out and saw it and said, what's that thing? Manna, right, in Hebrew. It's like manna means that thing. And then the rules that God put in was to stop that thing becoming the thing. It's this tendency in humanity to take the provision of God and to allow it to become our God itself. God provides. God provides security. God provides fulfillment. God provides purpose. We tend to take the things that he provides them through and use them to give us security and fulfillment and purpose. That we take that thing and let it become the thing in our life. And I think that's probably the most profound lesson we as Western Christians can learn from this, because we're 21st century people living in like Western developed countries. Most of us probably aren't struggling for bread every day, yeah? Most of us probably have freezers full of food, cupboards full of food that's expiring and going off, and we end up dumping stuff. We aren't probably struggling to have food every day. And that's not the case for a lot of people in the world, yeah? There's people who woke up this morning and had to pray for actual bread just to survive. But for us, I think the danger is that we stockpile this stuff and we actually put our trust in the stuff that we have, the bread, rather than in God. So the danger for us isn't that we won't have bread if we don't pray to God. It's that if we don't pray to God, the bread becomes our God. Does that make sense? It's not that if we don't pray, we won't have bread. It's that if we don't pray, the bread becomes our God. The excess of what we actually need in having that, we come to depend on it more than God. But eventually, guys, the stuff that you have owns you. The world will tell you, go out and get as much as you can and keep as much as you can and stockpile it in case of a rainy day, in case there's not enough tomorrow. But God set up these rules of the manna stuff to say, you need to trust me that I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Like, I'll give you what you need today and you need to trust me that I'm going to do it again tomorrow. And guess what? He did. He did, and he does. We often take the opposite of this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And really our desire is get as much as we can and keep it so that we have enough for the future, yeah? That our security's in that stuff. But eventually, guys, the stuff you own owns you. And depending on your stuff, having stuff doesn't keep you from worry. It just changes what you worry about. That instead of worrying about having your food tomorrow, you worry about losing your stockpile of food. Or instead of worrying about your finances for the future or worrying about that sort of stuff, you worry about holding on to the stuff that you already have now. What if I lose that? That worry just comes either way. What if we actually believed that God would provide us with what we need each day? I mean, how much of your day is spent worrying or thinking about tomorrow? How much of your headspace is spent thinking about what if I don't have that thing, or what's going to happen when the kids are raised, how will I afford college, or what's going to happen when, you know, how much of your day is spent worrying about your finances, spent worrying about the things that you need for life? How much of your headspace is? Now, what if we actually believed that when God put this in prayer in there, it wasn't just to tease us, it wasn't to hold out some ideal that we can't get, that it was actually to say, no, I want you to trust me for your daily bread. I want to read out these verses, right? So that the Lord's Prayer is found in Luke, and it's found in Matthew as well. But later on, it's like Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, so is like the Lord's Prayer. Later on in verse 25, Jesus, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, he expands on what it means, yeah? Because he knows that this is a big one for us. In fact, it's probably one of the hardest commands, I think, of Jesus to obey. You know when Jesus says, don't worry about anything? Like, that's a command. That's Jesus saying, don't worry. And that's probably one of the hardest things to obey. And it's rooted in this, give us this day our daily bread. Because if you had everything you need, and if you knew that you have a constant supply of everything you need, then what would you be worrying about? If I was a millionaire and I said, okay, don't worry about any of your bills from now on, I'm going to pay your mortgage, I'm going to pay the kids' education, I'm going to pay all your stuff, you would stop worrying about money, yeah? But you'd probably start worrying about whether or not I can do that. But God's track record is flawless. You don't need to worry about whether God is able if you've prayed, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're praying because you know who it is that you're praying to. But here's what Jesus said, knowing that this worry thing was a big deal, right? And I'm not going to paraphrase this, I'm just going to read it out because Jesus said this. And he said it to some people and he's saying it to you today. So I want you to hear this like this is Jesus saying this to you, because it is. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I can't say it better than Jesus said it. Just give us this day our daily bread is like a little summary of what he's talked about there. It's like, don't be anxious about the future. Don't worry about it. Why? Because your Father in heaven knows what you need and will provide. That's a hard thing to do. The solution isn't don't think about it. The solution to getting rid of worry and anxiety in your life isn't stockpile enough stuff so that I don't need to worry, yeah? It's not get the right job, get the right stuff, and then this worry will go. The solution isn't in stockpiling. The solution isn't in ignorance of it or trying to ignore it. There's no substitute for knowing the fatherhood of God. The solution to worry is the fatherhood of God. The solution to worry is the fatherhood of God. There's no substitute for it, and there doesn't need to be. In fact, I'm reminded one guy, I spoke on the fatherhood of God a couple of weeks ago, and one guy texted me saying that he was in situations in work, and he was praying to God as Abba Father, and he says, these are his words, with immediate relief from anxiety. Immediate. Isn't that amazing? The fatherhood of God is the solution for being anxious about life and jobs and situations. I think it's amazing. Yeah, and instead of grasping that truth, there's this tendency in us to still want to consume, to want to stockpile, to want to gather stuff, to have our security and stuff that's more than God. And while it's dangerous in a physical sense that we would have too little, yeah, that we wouldn't have enough to survive, I think it's even more dangerous in a spiritual sense that we have too much. There's this little prayer at the end of the book of Proverbs, right? And it's a strange prayer to pray. But it's incredibly insightful, and it mirrors this thing that Jesus says, right? It says this, this is the prayer. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. This is written 1,000 years before Jesus said this stuff. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. What a prayer. I don't know if anybody else except this person has ever prayed that prayer in life. Don't give me too much. Like, don't let me win the lotto, Lord. Don't let me get a promotion in work and have more money. Don't let me become too wealthy. But I think it's born out of experience. It's born out of experience that knows in plenty, that knows when we have enough stuff, when we have this stuff, that we forget God. The Israelites eventually, when they make it into the promised land, they rely on God to take it and all that sort of stuff. But it's not long before they're in the land of milk and honey, and what happens? They forget God. They turn away from him. It's a prayer. Give me only my daily bread as a prayer to keep me from trusting in the God of my stockpiles rather than God himself. And why is that an important prayer? Because your stockpiles will let you down. And they can't save you. In fact, they enslave you. It's a sobering kind of judgment on humanity that we take the blessings of God and we use them as a substitute for God. Like I said, our danger in not praying this prayer, our danger in not praying give us this day our daily bread, isn't that we won't have bread, because we have plenty of that. It's that the bread will become our God rather than the God we're looking to, yeah? And so I want us to look at also the bread of life, that there's this pattern of it being daily, but Jesus is ultimately the bread of life. Jesus is ultimately the thing we need in a spiritual sense. That most of us, like I said, we've freezers full of stuff, we've cupboards full of stuff, but that doesn't leave us any better off on a soul level, yeah? On the level of our souls, we still hunger and thirst for something. We still struggle in life. We need something more satisfactory than food and drink and possessions. We need our souls satisfied. And bread, give us this day our daily bread, doesn't just mean the physical things, but it means the spiritual things of life. In fact, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. We shared communion last week, and what does Jesus say? He takes some bread, and he breaks it and says, this is my body broken for you. And there's another passage in John 6 where he talks about being the bread of life. And John tells this story, you'll probably know it already. It's the story of, you know, where there's a large crowd following Jesus, and they're all hungry. And Jesus says to one of his disciples, where are we going to get all the food to feed this? And it says he knew where he was going to get the food, but he was just testing him to see did he know where he was going to get all the food. And the guy's like, I don't know, there's so many people here, it would take half a year's wages to pay them, right? Like, we don't have that kind of money, half a year's wage to pay them. What's the average wage here? 40 grand, so 20 grand's worth of food we're going to need because all these people have come. And it says the guy comes up, a young guy comes up, and he gives him like 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus blesses it, and he hands it out to the people. And it's multiplied. In fact, they end up taking up baskets of leftovers from all these people, and they take up baskets of leftovers. So Jesus has fed them, right? And these guys must have loved bread as much as I love bread, because they decide, they're like, we want to make this guy king, okay? Jesus has done loads of other miracles, and this wasn't the response. He gives them some bread and some fish, and they're like, let's take him and make him king, right? So Jesus legs it, because he doesn't want them to do that. He goes up a mountain. He ends up praying there for a while. He comes down. He crosses over the sea, goes over the other side. And this whole crowd finds out where he is, and they follow him over the other side again. And Jesus is like, he knows what they're at, yeah? Jesus, he says to them, he's like, you're looking for me because you ate your fill, and you want some more, you big hungas, yeah? You're coming after me. He didn't say hungas. Sorry, Jesus didn't say that. Oh, I said that. He should have said that. No, he shouldn't. Okay. They come over, they're looking for food off him, and he's like, you're only coming after me, you've seen other miracles that I've done, but now that I've fed you and your bellies are full, now you're coming after me again because you want more bread. He says, don't put your effort into finding physical food that's going to spoil, but look for this spiritual bread, this food that will give you a spiritual, everlasting life. And they won't leave it alone, they don't get it. They're like, okay, that sounds good, but will you give us a sign that what you're saying is true, right? And guess what sign they ask for? They're like, Moses gave us bread in the wilderness, so will you give us some more bread to prove what you're saying is true, right? Again, with the bread. And Jesus is like, you're not getting this. And so he spells it out to him. He's like, first of all, Moses didn't give you anything. My Father in heaven gave you that stuff, gave your ancestors that stuff. And the same Father wants to give you the true bread from heaven. And they're like, okay, right, well, give us that bread then. Still thinking that it's bread. Yeah, they're like, like seagulls down, you know them seagulls on the seafront to come down and rob your chips, like relentless in looking for this stuff, and bread blinkers on. And then Jesus eventually, he's like, these aren't getting it. And he says, I am the bread. He's like, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna, and that was great, but they ate that manna, and what happened to them? They still died eventually. But it says, anyone who takes part in me, anyone who trusts in me, they're going to live forever. They get this spiritual life. They get this eternal life. And it's like the guys cop on that they're not going to get any bread. They're not going to get food. And it says like they all left. And it says even some of his disciples at this time left and legged it. And what's the point of that story? Is that there's things that we think we need from God. But what we really need is God himself. And there's things that we're obsessed asking God for. And it's okay to ask for our needs. It's in there because it's okay to ask for our needs. But God would really say, what you really need is me. You don't get that what you really need is me. And when you ask for me, you get all the rest of the stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens? All these other things get added onto you. What you really need is me. We need soul satisfaction. God's designed you so that nothing else in all of creation can satisfy your soul like he can. He's made you that way. He's designed nothing else in creation that can satisfy you like he can. And this prayer is an invitation to have our souls satisfied. But we can be like that group of people, relentless in, Lord, give me that job, give me that bank balance, give me this relationship, give me this thing. And God's like, that's great, okay, it'll be great if you have that job, it'll be great if you have that bank balance, and I will bless you and I will provide for you. But here's the truth, none of that is going to really satisfy you. None of it's going to satisfy your soul like I can satisfy your soul. That job won't, that relationship won't, that money in the bank won't. I made you to be satisfied in me. And I'm not holding that back from you. Do you want it? I made you to be satisfied in me. Do you want to be satisfied? That's what he's asking us. Do you not get it? Do you not get what you really should be looking for is me? And so that's the prayer that we should be praying, guys. Yes, that God would meet our physical needs. And to know that he wants to meet your physical needs, no matter how small they are, yeah? I remember one time after my parents died and I didn't really know which way was up. And I won't go the whole story again. But I remember it was like a year and a half, 2 years later, I was walking down the road and I felt like I would like something. I can't remember what it was. It was something kind of insignificant. And I was like, God, would you give me that thing? And I realized that I hadn't prayed that way in about 2 years. And why hadn't I prayed that way in 2 years? Because I'd lost sight of who the Father was. That he would actually care about the small things that I need in life. It's only when we know who God is that we have the confidence to ask for what we need from him. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us is an expression, a confession of our need for God, saying, I don't have it. I don't have what I need, but you have what I need. Will you give it to me? This day, meaning today, today's bread today, said old Mr. Brennan, yeah? Today's bread today. I need today what I need from you. Do you believe that God has for you today what you need right now where you're at? Right now, today, whatever it is you're facing. The bread you need today is going to be different than the bread I need today. It's going to be different than the bread that the person beside you needs today. But the source is the same. Give us this day our daily bread. Not give me the bread I need for the next month or next year or for the rest of my life. God has what you need today. Too many people are living off yesterday's bread. They're living off what God did in my life 20 years ago when he saved me and I was all excited about being a Christian and now it's kind of plateaued and it's gone. They're living off the promises of God from yesteryear that they're kind of giving up on, or you know, there's nothing fresh in our lives. Give us this day our daily bread as an invitation to daily relationship with God. That today isn't yesterday and you need different provision today than you needed yesterday. You need to grow in depth with God. You grow in relationship with God. There's this pattern that happens in the Christian life very often that we become Christians, and I don't think it's coincidental, but it's like for a good while, everything goes smooth, yeah? And it's like God in his grace knows that we can't handle certain things, so he doesn't put it them our way. God protects us from a lot of stuff. He does a lot of stuff without us even asking, but before long, we find that life gets tough, yeah? Something hard comes along our way, and we're drawn back to God again, and God uses those circumstances to draw us deeper into him, so that we have more relationship with him, because that's what he wants, and that's what we need, and that's what we are made for. That we get to situations eventually in our life, and God kind of protects us for a while, because he knows that we don't have enough stock in the tank, we don't have enough relationship with him to be able to handle. But after a while, we find ourselves in situations that we don't know how to handle. And that's when we need to learn to pray for our daily bread, not just live off yesterday's, but pray for it in the day. How many of you, if you knew 10 years ago what you were going to face in the next 10 years, would think that you'd still be standing today? How many of you knew what, like 10 years ago, what the next 10 years are going to look like, the things you were going to go through, the loss, the hurt, the suffering, whatever it was in your life, and I know a lot of you have been through hard times, would think that you'd still be standing today? Yet here you are. Because God is faithful, because God gives you your daily bread. And that's a testimony that he will give you what you need for tomorrow. It gives us confidence to face every circumstance, not based on what we have, guys, but based on who we have with us. God has what you need for today. He has the strength you need for today. He has the finance that you need today. He has the solutions to the problems you face today. The perseverance. He has the wisdom. He has the healing. He has the peace of mind. He has the determination to get up and keep on going for today. Today isn't tomorrow. Today isn't yesterday. It's today. Do you believe that God has what you need? The God who's got you this far didn't bring you this far to leave you. That the God who got you this far is with you in today, and he'll be with you in a tomorrow. That our prayer, our cry, our confident request of our Father in heaven should be, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need today. And he will. Praise God. I have nothing else to say. Let's pray. Lord, it's by your Spirit that any of this stuff is made real to our lives, Lord. And it's not by the words that I can say to convince, Lord, but it's a work of your Spirit. And so I ask that this day you would give us that gift that we need. You'll give us that gift of your Spirit to make it real, that we would know and come to rely on you for what it is that we need today, Lord. That there would just be this response in our heart, this cry that says, God, I need this. I know that you have it, and I know that you want to give it, and you don't withhold any good gift from your children, and I'm your child, and you're my Father, and so I'm asking you for this thing. Pray for those who need strength. The strength will be divinely infused into their bodies today, Lord. For those who need provision, Lord God, I pray that provision will be divinely, Lord God, provided into their lives, Lord. Pray for any of those who are struggling with their daily bread, who are at that place that they just don't have the basics of what they need to survive. I pray, Lord God, that you will, as you have done in the past, continue to provide and have this confidence in us, Lord, that you will provide and that you do provide, Lord God, and that's what you're about, Lord. I pray that for each one of us, regardless of where we're at, that we would know what it is to cry out today, God, would you give me what I need? The audacity, Lord God. The faith, Lord God. The humility, Lord, to take our eyes off our stockpiles, to recognize that we can't do the things we're trying to do for ourselves. And I pray that we will cry out to you as our Father in heaven, that you will give us this day our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We bless you, Lord.